Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Hey!
Sean Priest.
Hello.
And Tim Schwartz.
Hello.
Hello, welcome along to another technology show. Yes, it is about technology. No haters here. I am here, Stephen Scott, back with you once again. Sean Priest is also with us, gracing us with his presence once again. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen. You are welcome.
Right. Tim Schwartz is also here. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. It's rare that we hear Grace and Sean in the same sentence, but it happened. Hello,
well, not
Sean.
Without the word dis.
Yeah. Oh, clever.
Yeah, like that, actually. Right, that's what you call thinking on your feet. Listen, we never do this. We never, ever introduce Sighted Guy Chris in the introduction. Is that not a disgrace? Sighted Guy Chris, how are you?
Hello, everyone. Yes, I often just sit here quietly while you guys take all the glory.
As he should. He only comes in when the emails come in. Let's not let him take over the show.
Oh, dear. Hey, emails come in all the time now. This basically makes my day sat in a studio waiting to read them.
Yeah, exactly. This is his life. He just spends his life waiting to read these emails for us. We have got a lot of emails. We're going to get to them shortly. We're also going to give you some important news. Apple have issued a new update for the Apple Watch. This is great news for those of us with Apple Watches. Eh, Tim?
Oh, yes. Thank goodness for this update.
So we'll get into that. Google have got a big event coming up as well. We're quite excited by this one because, I say that. I'm not going to buy anything as a result of it, I don't think. But
well,
we're going to get into some
of that.
Well, yeah. I know I say that every time, don't I? But I am intrigued by this one because we are going to see a new phone probably, but are we going to see any new Google Home hardware? Well, I know you guys have been scouring the web. Well, I know Tim has been scouring the web for us, so we'll get into that. He's the one that doesn't work around here. That's all coming up on this week's Tech Talk, and of course, lots more to come. This is on a bit, doesn't it?
Right, some intro.
Let's get on
huge.
With it. Come on, let's get into the emails.
Email, we get email.
Oh yeah,
we get your email every day.
Bing dong,
here's your mail today.
Right. And if you have just tuned in, this is your very serious RNIB technology program. Right, let's get into the emails this week. Chris, you are with us. What have you got?
Well, our first email comes from Alan, who says, "Hi, Tech Talk team. Just a few comments for you, which are that you can now get narrator voices on NVDA. Also, beside the Samsung accessible TVs is the Panasonic, Philips, but think that the Sony and LG TVs only have voice control on instead of voice guide. All TVs and recording boxes like Sky, Virgin, BT, Now TV and smart meters should have voice guide built in as standard. A couple of apps that I have heard of is Move It app, which is a transport app, Seeing Assistant Move app, which is a navigation app, which is the free version of a paid app, which is about £4, and an app called Voice Recorder. I have not used these apps, but hopefully they will be accessible. I was looking at trying to use Skype, and I found a list of shortcut keys for Skype, but the only keys which were not on the list was a shortcut key for answering a video or voice call, which is a bit stupid for Microsoft. Every other short key was on the list. Can you try to find out from Microsoft when they are going to add these two very important keys for blind and visually impaired people to be able to use Skype? I hope that you will do a good review of the next forthcoming launch of the new Google phones that are going to be displayed at the Google show on the 9th of October. Thanks for a really interesting show and keep up the good work. Kind regards, Alan McKee."
Hang on. Whew. First of all, that's a lot in there to unpack.
It's like a machine gun of facts. I don't know where to start. Yeah. I'm going to forget it all.
I know. I think we're going to have to go through that one line by line. Right, where did we start? Let's go back to the beginning of that
email. Narrator voices on TVs.
Right, hang on, I'm confused by that. Narrator voices on NVDA. I would have thought that's the last thing you would want. Sorry, well, no, am I just...
I thought that was possible anyway, because you just changed the synth to Sappy 5. Yeah. And doesn't the Microsoft Voices come under the Sappy 5? I know I've seen it through there. I know there's a new one called Microsoft Core Voices, and I know that's in there already. So, yeah, but I'm the stick with Vocalizer. Amazing voices, great price. But, yeah, it's nice that you got the option.
You use NVDA, Tim. What voices do you use on it?
I typically lean towards the Vocalizer voices as well, although I have tried the Sappy 5 voices, so they have been in there for at least a little while, at least a year or so that I've been using them. There's been some Microsoft voices available, but yeah, I typically stick to the Vocalizers as well because they are so able or so good at expression, you know, being expressionable and being able to read information. They don't go as fast as maybe an Eloquence, of course, but they're still very good.
But you can get Eloquence on NVDA as well, which is a lot of people call it the Jaws voice, yep. Don't they? And it is the Jaws voice. That's what people know of it. But it's a voice that stands alone. You can buy it. You can buy it through the program, through NVDA. You can actually go to our website and purchase the download. I think it's like £50-odd. It's not a huge amount of money, considering how much Jaws costs. Just saying, you get your NVDA for free, you get the same voice. I will say I've used both side by side. It's not the same experience. You don't get the same level of speed. But if you're using it as a home machine, I would say it's fine.
Oh, come on, what's the difference in speed? Are we talking milliseconds? I know it all matters because you do feel it more.
No, I'd say it's more than milliseconds. Have you tried Eloquence, Tim?
Yes, Stephen, actually I did. When I first got NVDA, I did the trial version that you could get of Eloquence. I unfortunately haven't dropped the money to get Eloquence on there yet, but I'm happy with the other voices right now, so it's kind of a toss-up. If I was doing some more in-depth work and needed to do things for speed, I may go ahead and drop the money for Eloquence, but the Vocalizer voices are just fine for what I do for just surfing the web and general reading of things that I need it to do. But I did try the free trial that you can get before purchasing it, like I said, and it does work out really well. It actually matches up with NVDA quite nicely.
Yeah, I've got to say, I know I say it costs £50. I did exactly that. I got the free trial. It ran out, and I just went back to whatever it was that came with. Yes, I am. I am very cheap. I will say
news.
It makes NVDA, thank you. It makes NVDA go from being, hello, how are you, to blah, 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 blah. That's me describing to you what Eloquence is like. Because everybody I know who doesn't use Jaws says all they ever hear from my computer is, blah, 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 blah. And we understand perfectly what it's saying. In fact, I just made I just basically said the Gettysburg Address to you there, and you would never have known. So clever. Anyway, right, what else was it? It was smart TVs. There's a range of TVs now, Samsung, Panasonic, LG. They do have voice control. You're absolutely right, Alan. But some of them do have built-in accessibility as well. You can use voice control along with it, but voice control and voice guide are very separate things. So it's just important to make everyone aware of that.
It's not confusing at all.
No, I know.
It is.
Both called voice.
Yeah, voice control is, you can say BBC One or whatever channel you want. And voice guide is obviously a screen reader. They are becoming more available, the TVs with screen readers. So, the ones you mentioned, yeah.
And let's not even go.
Not all Sonys, obviously.
No. I know I've maybe learned that the hard way. But I will say that Toshiba, and only Tim can really benefit from this at the moment, Toshiba in the States have come out with Amazon Fire TV edition sets. So you can buy a TV with the Amazon Fire built in, which has got accessibility. Some people would maybe rather not go there, but
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, yeah, okay. Is that true accessibility? Does it give you access to the TV functionality, or is that just for the smart site?
I don't know is the truth of that, because I think about it a bit like UView here. UView does have the capability, it doesn't have accessibility, but what I mean is in terms of it is essentially an amalgamated platform that's got live TV along with on-demand television. Do you know, if it was accessible, it would be the only thing I'd have, because I think it's actually a brilliant system. Your EPG doesn't only have access to what's on the TV, but you can actually go back and see what was on last week and just hit play. I love it. brilliant.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing. It's like a live EPG.
Make it accessible.
Make it accessible. And the only thing that I would say about it is you have made a lot of strides to make the app accessible. But not the device yet.
I signed up for Now TV over the weekend.
Terrible.
Oh, what a nightmare. Absolutely terrible. The website was terrible. Even registering was terrible.
Did you email them?
What a disgrace. I have sent an email, yes, because, well, basically to say I don't want to carry on with my free trial. But, you know, it's annoying because the actual app on the Apple TV.
That's so bad. I don't want to continue my free trial. I know you're giving me all the content for nothing.
No.
I don't want it.
Take it away from me. If it's not accessible, I'm not touching. No, but it's ridiculous. The website should be accessible and it is just in such a poor state. Bad.
Tell them. Email them. Annoy them with it.
Okay, I will do.
Get on with it. Thank you. Right.
So the next one was apps, Move It, Seeing Assistant, and Voice Recorder. Are they accessible?
Okay, well, Move It, I have heard about Move It. We did a feature a while back about this, actually. I remember standing in a bus station. And do you remember this one, Sean? We did this way back.
You did
the In the Field bit. Because Jackie was on the show,
right.
She was in the garden,
yes.
You were in the field.
Jackie in the garden.
And then I was at a bus station for some. I got the rough end of the deal, I think. And I had to try and work out when the next bus was coming in. I'm pretty sure I used Move It. It was accessible, Alan, but the only thing I'd say is you've got to plan ahead, unfortunately. With these apps, the thing I learned most was planning ahead is key. Because if you are trying to use these apps in that environment, you know, I missed about four buses by the time I realised when the bus was coming. I didn't realise about half an hour had gone by. So, you know, it didn't really work for me. You have to be prepared. You have to plan ahead with your journeys. As for the other apps, I'm not sure, but let's come back to you maybe next week on that with a bit more detail. And if you can give us more detail on the specific apps you're wanting information on, we'll do our best to tell you about it.
Well, Seeing Assistant Move... I would assume, because the Seeing Assistant suite of apps, they've got a few different ones, magnifiers. I would assume, because of its nature, that it was accessible. So I would...
Hang on a minute. Sorry,
yes,
Tim.
Sorry.
Tim, I'm feeling a bit faint here. Did Sean actually come up with some useful information on this programme?
He did. I was about speechless.
That's
there.
Not unusual, that was, as Tom Jones would say.
Because I think what it is this morning we're sharing a brain because he took the words right out of my head. Because the Seeing Assistant suite of apps is all pretty accessible. That's the whole point of those apps. So yeah, well done, Sean.
I've already said that too. Moving on.
I have to say, my heart detection monitor on my Apple Watch is going through the roof. Right, what else?
Skype, shortcut keys for answering video or voice calls.
Terrible. Awful. I thought that they had fixed this in the new version of Skype version 8. Now, I haven't done much testing of Skype 8. I'm going to do this for you, just for you, Alan, because I want to know the answer to this. I have a hunch that in the new version of Skype, version 8... and this is for the PC, that they have resolved this. There is now a command to hang up and make the calls. If not, then that is just ridiculous. But I
can't find it. It used to be Alt page down, and it doesn't work in
Skype.
No,
it doesn't work.
And the file
doesn't work in Skype.
The menu bar at the top isn't even accessible. You need to do Alt F to jump into the file menu, and then you can navigate around. But aside from that, you can't get to it. It doesn't read out the file menu. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just find myself tabbing around the screen like a maniac trying to find the buttons that I want. And unfortunately, this last week, Microsoft announced that the Skype Classic will be discontinued by November 1st. So we're counting down the days.
Right, okay. Does that cover it off?
Pretty much. He wanted to know if you guys were going to be covering the Google phone launch, but you've already said
yeah, we will be. I don't know how seriously we'll take it, but we'll certainly do our best. Right, thank you, Alan, for the email.
We're professionals. We'll take it very seriously.
Well, our next email comes from Simon, who says, "Hi, Steve, Sean and Tim. I have been listening to Nadia's problem, good old Nadia, and hope that I have a solution. Ooh. If Dragon Dictate spells there, as in T-H-E-R-E, only one way, why not put a punctuation sign before it, like percentage sign there? And when you're ready, search and replace punctuation sign there with T-H-E-I-R there. On a different note, how do you set up an iPhone so that you can pay at checkout? Keep up the great work. Best wishes, Simon."
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for the hint for Nadia. Nadia, I tell you, the amount of outpouring of love for you is just too much for any of us to take. And I'm really glad people have got on board with this because we know nothing. In regards to the second point, setting up your phone for Apple Pay, do you know that? I don't know about you, Tim, but that sounds to me like a Sean feature waiting
that
to happen.
That sounds like a brilliant feature done by Sean with his magical editing skills. This sounds so much like Sean.
Sean's the voice of the common man. He understands.
He is.
I am common.
And it's an easy thing to set up, so even better.
Well, it is actually.
For Sean.
It is super easy. Search under the settings for Apple Pay. It will ask you to go through the steps of adding your card. And I think if I'm right in saying, it's been a while since I've done mine, but I think you scan the card, so you don't actually have to read the card.
Physically. You can, yeah.
You can actually have the camera pick up all the details from the card. The only thing you'll need to get from the card is the 3-digit security number to add to the setup. What will then happen is, assuming that your bank has your mobile phone number that you've got, then they will text you a code, and all you have to do is then just type in that code and it will activate your card, and that's it. And then when you're using the card at checkout, you would, if you've got sitting here with my iPhone XS with Face ID and no home button, I just hold my phone up and it magically pays for everything, even things I haven't bought. But if you've got the phone with the home button, you just double press on the home button and it will bring up your Apple Pay card. It will tell you to hold near reader, or it will tell you that you need to use Touch ID to activate it. And then when you hold it near the reader, it will tell you it's done. All that is done through VoiceOver. It's all instant, and it's actually very, very smart.
It's amazing. That's what it is. It's all accessible. The scanning of your debit or credit card to get the number, the valid date, all that. It's amazing, and it works so well. So, yeah, totally accessible. Just need to add the card to your wallet. It's pretty straightforward. I don't think it needs a feature.
The only thing I would say, is that it does depend on your bank.
Yes.
If the bank supports it. Most of the banks, I think, do. If you've got a contactless card, then you might argue whether or not you even need Apple Pay. But if you want to just look cool, then you can do that.
It's more secure. Let me say that, because it generates a temporary debit card number.
Yes.
So the actual number you pay with isn't your card number. It's a temporary one that Apple generates. Mm. Fantastic. And can we not skip over the genius idea of putting a punctuation mark before any word you're not sure of to do a targeted search and replace afterwards? I don't know if that will interfere with Nadia's creative flow, as she is a proper author.
Well, that could be the thing.
I think that's a really good idea.
I think it's a good idea, but yeah, Nadia may, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she may come back and say, really, every single time I have to stop and think to put that before that word, that may stop my flow. But if it doesn't stop her flow, I think it would work out really well.
I would be a terrible author. I am so easily distracted. It is unbelievable. I mean, I sit in my house. We started doing some blogging the other week, and I was writing some stuff down. And, you know, I've got all these ideas. And honestly, a ball could bounce from a child's, you know, playing with their ball or whatever outside, and the ball would bounce, and I'd be like, what's that? And then I'd be up and completely disinterested, forget everything, and that would be
procrastination. I think that is, Stephen. I'm exactly the same. Never put YouTube on while you're trying to write something, because it's the next day before you get
why
back
would
to
you
them.
Do that to yourself. Right. Okay, thank you for that, Simon. They sent that email. Yeah.
Yes.
Genius, Simon. Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
And our next one comes from an old friend, Gordon.
Oh, hello, Gordon.
Who says, it's me again, following on from the Twitter image description chat. Mm. Stephen asked about Facebook. Facebook's built-in description is not bad for describing photographs, but really falls down on pictures with text, where it tells you, may contain text, which isn't much use. Facebook won't allow seeing AI to scan pictures within the Facebook app, but you can save the photo to your own gallery, then go into the sharing options, and that's where you'll find the Recognize with Seeing AI button. It's a bit of a plaster, but it does work. Also, there is a way for people posting pictures on Facebook to add their own alt text, but it's not easy to do, and hardly anyone knows how to do it. It also has a very limited character limit. Cheers for that. That's Gordon.
Wow, that's actually quite good to know. I mean, I must admit, I probably wouldn't be bothered. I've kind of, I've, since using VoiceOver, I've kind of come away from Facebook a little bit. And Twitter, less so, but I just think, if I'm honest, for me, there's just so much to keep track of. I just can't keep
exactly.
up.
I'm just not organised enough. I've took nearly a year off Twitter and Facebook. And Facebook, I still just can't get into. There's too much there for me to navigate around. I just don't like it. Twitter, I'm starting to get back to slowly. But yeah, I don't know. It's such a time sucker.
Mm.
You say slowly. I think I've seen you respond to one tweet in the last 6 months.
Well, that's slowly.
You do apparently
isn't it?
Still
slowly.
Yeah, that is slowly, and you do attend to your notifications on Facebook, so I'm told. Oh. So, slowly but surely. But no, I mean, I somehow have still been able to keep up with all the Facebook updates. I've actually been really happy with where they've gone with accessibility and their use of the rotor and two-tap, double-tap feature, the magic tap feature. They really have integrated a lot of good things there. They keep adding more features to being accessible. So they've done a good job of keeping up. But like you said, Stephen, there's so much that you can do in there. Yes, you can keep it really simple and just do status updates and read your notifications and that be it, but there's so many other things that you could get involved in that could take some time, but it is all accessible and thankfully so. Now, as far as reading images with text, Gordon's absolutely right. There are those ways to do that. You could label it, but it's not really easy. It doesn't read it out right now. And saving it to your camera roll for Seeing AI to do it is really the only current way to get that text. However, like I think I briefly mentioned last week, Facebook is working on a meme detection and text detection mode so that they will partner that with the graphic description mode that they have. So hopefully here, I think they say maybe within the next month or so, a couple months, that should be available where it will read text within Facebook, just like it does images right now. So that will be helpful.
Can I just quickly add something on here? A cry for help. I am, honestly, Tim, don't attack me. I'm trying to get back onto Twitter. But Chicken Nugget has stopped working, and that is my preferred method because I like typing.
What is it with you today? You keep taking people's words out of their mouth. I was just about to say the same thing. What
well,
has
I'll beat you
happened?
To it. I'm a
what
professional, as I say.
To Chicken Nugget? It used to be really good, and now what happens is
I'll just shut up and sit in the
corner. If you don't mind.
No, it's fine. No.
No, please. I'll continue. You open up the program, right, and then it brings up this window that just disappears, and that's it. I don't know if you have noticed that, Sean, but... It just doesn't work.
Can I talk now? Yeah.
Having a conversation with my wife. Steady.
That's how I feel. Well,
she listens now, by the way. I need to be careful.
Hello. I installed
Hello, Marie,
it and
how are
add existing account, click on that, and it hangs and does nothing. Mm. So, I'm totally confused. I have emailed, I've sent feedback through the app and had no response. So, I thought it might just be me, but obviously not then.
No, I actually think Chicken Nugget was brilliant for what it was. I just wish they could get it. And I've tried uninstalling it, and I've tried installing it again, and it's just not interested. I find that annoying. Some of the shortcuts that you can use for the Facebook and Twitter website aren't too bad. And Tim, you're absolutely right. It's a fully accessible site. Facebook is great. It's very accessible. I mean, the images aren't, but they're working on that. But I think that, you know, as much as Facebook in and of itself as a website is very accessible, as is Twitter, but it's the sheer amount of stuff. And, you know, it's always the way. Someone will say to you, you know, you maybe sat for an hour trying to catch up on Facebook, and someone says, did you see my post? You didn't like my post. I've just sat for an hour on this thing, and it didn't come up in front of me, you know? So that's where anyway, there you go. But thank you, Gordon.
And that being said, though, the comparison of time I spend on the desktop versions of those social media sites compared to my phone is probably, you know, 1% on the computer and 99% on my phone, because the app experience is accessible as the desktop versions are with the shortcuts and everything. The apps, I feel, just are much more intuitive and much more accessible, even with all the shortcuts that you have for the desktop. So if anybody's having problems using it on the desktop, try your smartphone app, because I think it would be a better experience.
Right, Sean, are you okay now? We're friends again.
We'll see. I don't know yet. I expect a present. Chocolate and flowers.
This is a technology show. Right, moving on. Chris.
So from our old friend Gordon to a first-time writer called Karen, who says, Hi, Stephen, Sean and Tim.
Hello, Karen.
Hello, Karen. I've been an avid listener of your show for ages now, but have never written to you before.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm confused about smart speakers and would like some tips before I purchase one. I have BT broadband with a Wi-Fi hub. I also have BT mobile. At the moment, I use a Victor Reader Stream to listen to internet radio and download podcasts, such as your own. I'm looking to purchase a smart speaker primarily to stream my internet radio, then maybe add other smart devices such as lighting, etc. Do smart speakers run off batteries or do they have to be plugged into the mains? As you can gather, I am a novice with all this tech, so please can you advise me on the best one to buy? Keep up the good work, chaps. I absolutely love your show. That's from Karen Lamond in Stoke-on-Trent.
Hey, Karen. Oh, thank you for that. That's really nice.
Thank you for that, yeah.
Well, I'm going to hand this one to Sean, actually, because he does this explanation much better than me.
Oh, thank you. Oh. Yes.
Okay. I feel the love.
Okay.
I'm feeling a bit sick, actually. Right,
well,
carry on.
There's a few options when it comes to smart speakers. It really depends what ecosystem you're in now, I suppose. If you've got an Android phone, you maybe would consider the Google Home smart speakers. If you've got an iPhone, there's the HomePod, although... really, that's more about the audio than the smart side of things. I got to recommend the Amazon Lady A speaker. I can't say it, but A-L-E-X-A. The entry-level one is called the Echo... I didn't say it. I spelt it. That doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Okay, sorry. It's just that the alarm just gets set off as soon as you say anything like it. Sorry.
The entry-level for the Amazon smart speakers is the Echo Dot. A very nice speaker, comes in, the new one will come in at $49.99. Yes, very easy to set up, accessible out of the box, and it will stream any audio or your podcasts. Easy to set up devices like smart plugs and lights. They're great. I can't recommend them enough, to be honest. Even if you just bought it for an accessible radio, it's amazing. So, yeah, in my opinion, the Amazon Echo is the way to go. Start with the Dot. If you want to spend a bit more money and get better audio quality, you've got the Echo and then the Echo Plus. But the Dot is great.
A couple of things that I would add to that. First of all, I don't know that you mentioned it, Sean, but these are all plugged into the wall. You don't use batteries for any of these. I believe Karen
that's
had asked.
Right, yep.
That's about that, right? And then the other thing is, I don't think you quite got the names of those Echo products correct. Isn't that right, Stephen?
Yeah, I was thinking that. I thought, you know, why is he not referring to it by its proper name? Echo Small, Echo Medium, and Echo Big. These are the appropriate names for these
Fake
devices.
Fake news. Do not listen. That is not the real names. Dot,
I can't help but encourage
Echo
him.
Or Echo Plus. And let me just say, the new Echo Dot is available for pre-order now. It is released on October the 11th. I would definitely wait for that one. Much better audio quality on that. So, yep. Yeah, October the 11th if you're going to jump on that.
Okay.
But look, the Google Home series are also good. Exactly the same features, near enough. It just depends. If you have an Android and you're into the Google ecosystem, then that may be a better choice.
Okay, well, look, I'm conscious that Chris has read all of our emails and he's still sitting here and he's probably thinking he'd rather be anywhere else right now. So
I don't think so.
I think Chris will say thank you.
Thank
and
you
let
very
you
much.
Get on.
Once again, I'll be here again next week, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye. Thanks, Chris.
I want to keep going on this. Sean, talk us through the setup. Well, briefly, if you can, talk us through how easy this is to set up these devices.
Blimey, that's under the bus. Well, you do need, you will need either a smartphone or a tablet, and you download the companion app. Let's stick with the Amazon one, but it is the same for the Google. Download the app, and simply it will ask you to add a new device. You connect your phone through the Wi-Fi settings to your smart speaker, and then you tell it what your home Wi-Fi network password is, and that is pretty much it. The smart speaker will then connect to your home Wi-Fi, and you're ready to go. It really is that simple. The iOS Amazon app is slightly clunky, shall we say, but it is
temperamental.
That's a fantastic word, but it is usable. It is accessible. You can get there, and as I say, all this is accessible out of the box. The other thing is you can access the service as well using your smartphone, using the app. The latest edition on the Amazon app, there is a button there saying talk to the Echo. So just going back to you, the thing of batteries or having to be plugged in. Yes, it does need USB power, but you can access the service. So you could turn on lights or play podcasts through the service on your phone app as well.
Well, there is something else just to add to that. I mean, everything Sean says is absolutely right for both devices. In fact, there's two things I want to say. One is regarding batteries and power. You can buy separately a little docking station, if you like, for the Echo Dot. I think you can get them for the Plus as well and for the big and the medium and the whatevers. The other ones.
You can, yes.
You can buy these little docking stations and you can put them in. You get them off the shop that starts with A, where they come from, and
I've just said the name about 50,000 times.
You get it from there. You get it from the Tropical Rainforest shop, and basically you can have these devices run on battery. Now I don't know how great they are. I had one. I bought a Vaux, VAUX, which was okay, but then I did that on a recommendation of one of our listeners, and then was immediately told the week after, no, Stephen, you didn't read the email right. It was the docks you were meant to buy. So yeah, I bought the wrong one, but it was actually okay, and it did allow me to take the Echo out into the garden, which was quite nice in the summer. You could take it out, you could listen to some music and stuff, so that was quite pleasant actually, instead of running cables everywhere. So that's one way. You can run it off batteries if you choose, but you would have to buy that extra pack. Essentially, it is something that would plug in. And I think ultimately, for most people, you probably would want it plugged in.
But obviously, as it's just a micro USB cable to power it, you can just use a battery pack or battery charger if you've got one of those
to
take it out to the garden. So
yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention was we are going to talk a little bit about the Google event that is coming up. I'm really intrigued to know you guys have been scouring the net for rumours and stuff on this. I don't know how much is out there. I'll be interested to hear what you've found. Okay, let me rephrase that. Tim, I wonder what you've found this week. But I wonder if it's a good time to buy anything with Google's name on it. Because like the old Apple thing, you know, I remember a friend of mine who said to me a week before the Apple launch of the new phones, oh, I've just got myself an Apple 10, and I think it's a wonderful phone. I was like, take it back now. A new one's coming in a week. So, you know, I would hold off if you were going to get on the Google route, because there's a chance there'll be a new one coming out, and you want to get the latest. But Amazon, as Sean says, have released the latest versions of the Echo family. And, I think you've ordered the new Echo Dot, haven't you? The £49 one.
I have. I've pre-ordered. I've got about three or four Echo Dots already, and I love them, but the audio quality isn't great. So the new one is 70% louder, clearer. So, yeah, I've pre-ordered that already. I can't get enough dots. They're just so useful.
And on the podcast, you'll find a little feature. If you scroll down the list of our Tech Talk podcast feed, Karen, you'll be able to find a feature called What is a Smart Speaker? Sean did this, and it's a really nice introduction to these if you're in any doubt as to what they are. Maybe you've listened to that, and maybe that's where your questions come from, but I would certainly try it out if you haven't listened to that. It's a great way to get to know it. Karen, thank you for emailing in. And do you know, what I love about Karen's email is, you know, she said, here's a question that you might think silly, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And I love that. You know, no question is silly on this program. Yep. You only have to listen to this show for any length of time to know nothing is too silly for it. So, you know, please do email in techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And thank you so much for your emails this week. Shall we get some news then? Oh, that's not the right one. Let's do this one.
News from the internet.
Tech Talk. Right, let's get some news. First up, I want to talk about the Apple Watch Series 4, because it's, had a bit of a bump in the road, shall we say. And actually, it's not the Series 4 watch's fault. It's actually the fault of the operating system, which is called WatchOS 5. There was a bug in there, which meant that if you were trying to access anything on the control center, like mute or theatre mode or any of the other switches there, you could double tap day and night with VoiceOver on, but it would make no difference whatsoever. However, Tim, they fixed it.
Oh, thank goodness they fixed this. A few days ago, before the weekend, they had version 5.0.1 come out. Now, in the initial release notes, they don't mention this fix, which they never usually mention voiceover fixes in the main section of the release notes, but that's okay. As soon as I saw this, my first thought was, could they? Maybe? Since they took the time to put out an update already, could they have fixed this? And I wasn't really totally sure that they were going to, but as soon as my Apple Watch updated, that was the first thing I tried, was immediately went to Control Center, tried to double tap on each and every item in there, and thankfully they all work. So if you have that upgraded yet to 5.0.1 yet, and you are having that issue that Stephen and I were so frustrated about, update. The version is pretty stable. It works just fine. Does update a few other minor things. But if you were having problems with Control Center, it now works as it's supposed to.
Yeah, superb. About time. Do you want to give a shout out this week to Be My Eyes? This is an app which you might have heard us talking about, where you can essentially borrow someone else's eyes for a couple of minutes and say, hey, how does this, what does this look like, or what does this say? And you do it all through an app on your phone. You can use the rear camera of your phone and it picks up what you're looking at and will relay that to a volunteer. Really good service. But they added in this feature recently by Microsoft. So Microsoft's Disability Answer Desk, which I would never have probably called. If I'm totally honest, I probably would never have picked up the phone to them, because I would probably assume, and I'm probably wrong, but I would have assumed that it would be like, press one for this, wait 3 months, we'll maybe get you through, your call's important to us, you know, we'll get you there. And then a year later, I'm, you know, raging and hate everything. And then, you know, I get through to someone. But with this, with Be My Eyes, you're right through. It is brilliant. I used it last week. I had a problem with my computer. Trying to use the Mac to do something with Office. The woman on the other end found this hilarious. But yes, I was trying to use an Office product on a Mac, and I had an issue, and she was able to resolve it for me. But not only that, she was able to drop me some emails with some extra information. Do you know, it was just a really good service, and I thought, this is actually a brilliant way to connect with these kind of services, because it probably doesn't take as long as it does on the phone, because you're not trying to explain it. You just see it. That's the problem. What's wrong? And the person was able to very quickly fix it. So, yeah, I just want to give them a shout out, because I think that was
well done, Be My Eyes. And Microsoft, well done. Aye, we got a shout out when they get it.
Very well done.
Well
yep.
done.
Absolutely. No whine here.
Yeah, Be My Eyes absolutely deserves a shout out. I actually was surprised to hear on my local news here, they recently were doing a story about Be My Eyes. They mentioned it on the news program, talking about how really good it was for blind people, talked about how it worked. And so I was really happy to see that it made just my local, you know, local news program on a mainstream news program. I was really proud to Be My Eyes for that, quite honestly. That was very nice that mainstream is actually picking this up.
There is something when you hear about, you know, something like that in mainstream news, you do feel, oh, I feel quite proud. It's like nothing to do with me, but I know what you mean.
Well, my first thought was, well, yeah, this isn't news. I've known about this for quite a long time. I've interviewed their CEO. I've used the app for quite a while. What is this news? This isn't news.
Well, it's funny. A similar kind of thing happened to me. I think I told you guys this story before. I'd gone into an Apple store, and I was like, I can't remember what for, because I go in so many times. And I walked in and I said, you know, looking at whatever. And this woman came over to me, and the enthusiasm that this woman had for voiceover. She said, oh, have you tried this thing? It's amazing. It's called voiceover. You must try it. And I tried to be so nice and say, and it's difficult for me to do that, as you know.
Yes.
And I said,
yes.
Yeah. And I said, do you know, I actually use it? And she's like, wow, do you? And she was so enthusiastic. And I thought, you know, that is brilliant, actually, because someone is going to go into that store one day who is, and I said that to her, I said, keep that enthusiasm up, because just because I know about it doesn't mean the next person will. You know,
exactly.
You've got to tell people
there
about it. And she did, she actually worked there. Well, this is the thing, that they seem to be more trained around voiceover. I think in the States, Tim, you told me that they have specialists in
they
store.
They do. Each Yeah, each of the Apple stores have one or more, but usually one person that's designated as a voiceover or accessibility specialist. Then other employees do know it. They are trained on it so that they can answer questions, but they do typically have one person who is designated as that accessibility specialist. As a matter of fact, here where I live, that specialist in our local Apple store, he will actually go out to the local associations for the blind or other community functions and things involving the blind, and he will speak on it. He will answer questions. He actually, gives out his card with a number that you can call if you have questions, so you can get a hold of him so that he can talk with you about it. So yeah, they're very, very good about being trained on it and knowing how to use it and how to answer those questions about it.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things you think, how did they just get it so right? Is it because they make so much money that they can afford to do all this? Whereas if they were a company that was struggling a bit, then they probably wouldn't put as much effort into all that kind of thing. At least not so much into the software, but into the support for the software. And I see Microsoft going down that route with something like Be My Eyes. I think it's a very smart move, actually.
Does it come down to money, or is it just good, staff training? Because those...
No, it's a bit of both, is it not? Both.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I've had the same
experience.
It
does help if you've got the money.
Well, yes. In the Manchester Apple store I've been in, every time I've had to go in for something, they always mention that, are you aware of voiceover and would you like any training on it? And it's not like they're trying to sell me any lessons or something. They say there's someone available that can, run you through it. And it's great that they're making people aware.
Yeah.
Maybe they get a commission every time they mention voiceover to a blind person.
Now, you never know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably not true.
I don't think that's... Yeah, I'd love to know how that one marries
up. We're all worried about that comment, too.
I spoke to 5 blind people today. Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, she had sunglasses on, I just assumed. Right, let's talk about Google then, shall we? Because it's coming up. I think... No, let me get this right. So for the programme, because we're trying to work this out, October 9th, so the show will have gone out on air, or our next show will have gone out on air, before the next event, the big event. So we probably won't mention too much of this next week on the show because we'll bore you to tears with it. But there are a couple of rumours kicking around. I must say, I'm not hearing as much or seeing as much about this as I do around Amazon's events when they're coming up, or even Apple's events. So, Tim, I know you've been following the news. There's no point asking Sean what he knows about
this. There really isn't.
So, Tim, what's the rumor about Google's big event next week?
Yeah, you're right. Apple, unfortunately, lately, these last couple of years, Apple, it seems, everything leaks. They're leaking like a sieve over there at Apple, and I know they hate it. Tim Cook is so mad about this. That's not how they want to do things. Amazon, well, they just spring announcements on us like they did out of the blue, where we can't get any leaks or rumors because I don't know that they know sometimes until the time they go on stage. When it comes to the Google event, however, there have been a few rumors, maybe even a couple of leaks. We don't know how official these are or not, but there are a few things that are expected to come out. On that list, I don't know if a new assistant is going to be there. Now, we've talked about this. I'm convinced that there's got to be. If they don't, I think they're really going to fall way behind Amazon in that space. They're putting out a good product, as Sean talked about earlier. The Google Home Assistant line is really, really good, and it's a good service, but they haven't refreshed in quite a while. So I would expect them to refresh their assistant line. However, in the assistant space, the one thing that has leaked a little bit is that they are talking about there being an announcement of a smart screen, very similar to the Echo Show. So the rumored name is the Google Hub, which will have a screen with the smarts, all the smarts of the Google Assistant built in. So that is one of the rumors. Of course, they're talking about new phones. So we'll look at the Pixel 3s coming out at that time. And that, I don't think that's a rumor, a leak. I think that's pretty much a lock that you can expect the Pixel 3s to come out. And those will rival what the new iPhones have been, the XS, the XS Max, and probably will rival the price as well. Because after last year, it seems that Google feels the Pixel can get away with that same price as the Apples.
Well, Apple do make the prices, don't they? They say, well, this is how much it's going to be. But I will say this, I think that the hardware, and this is very controversial, but I think that the Android phones often do come with better hardware in them than the Apple phones.
Oof. Well, wow, some would argue that they need extra things like extra RAM because of the Android operating system doesn't manage resources so well. But I'm not going to get into that debate. The Pixel 3 is a definite, as it was left in the back of a taxi at the recent IFA Berlin event.
Yes.
So that is actually, you know, out there now and very...
Well, we all knew a new phone was coming. I mean, there's going to be a Pixel 3, probably a Pixel 3 XL.
Yeah.
The larger one.
Yes.
And, you know, there might be a redesign on it, but I don't know. I haven't seen these pictures. I don't know what they look like. So I don't know if it's the same body, but better internals. I don't know. But we'll probably see larger sizes. I notice now that the push is on for larger capacity within phones, which is interesting considering how much we use the cloud. I mean, I like to have a phone with lots of capacity in it, but I don't really know why I need it because everything I own lives in the cloud. I mean, if I watch TV, it's in the cloud. If I, you know, my files are in the cloud, or Dropbox,
exactly.
OneDrive.
Everything is streaming now. It's the same on my computer. You know, I've got a 200 gig SSD in my main computer, and that is more than enough because, you know, Netflix, I don't have any locally stored media anymore.
Yeah, when Apple made that announcement with the XS line that they were having it upgraded to the 512, you know, gigabyte size, I was really surprised that they would even put that out. I was even more surprised that people would put down the money for a 512 size
so
of their phone.
So you're talking to me, Tim, are you?
I'm just talking to people in general who may have done such a thing. No, I would never single you out, Stephen. But I enjoy coming on here too much. So, but yeah, anyway, so yeah, I'm surprised that these sizes keep getting bigger and bigger. However, I wouldn't be surprised again if Google does the same thing with the Pixel 3 and the XL when they come out. I wouldn't be surprised to see things in excess of 256, maybe a 512, because they find that people are paying for these things. People will put down the money. So I guess they figure, why not? Now, that said, I will be interested because they are saying there are leaks out there that are saying we should see new Chromebooks possibly and maybe even new Chrome tablets. And so I'll be interested to see if they have bigger size, you know, as far as hard drive size goes as well. But those are the other rumors that are coming out, is that we should see new tablets and new Chromebooks in addition to everything else. So I really tried to look for assistant leaks and they're just not there. Not saying that it's not going to happen, but again, I believe it should happen, but I'm just not seeing it. But yeah, I think it's interesting what Google's doing, and especially after last year, like you said, Stephen, it is funny how in price, in hardware, in so many other ways, with their notch even, they're copying Apple. That said, Apple, before I get the haters, before Riz emails in a hateful email, Apple does copy you know, Google quite a bit as well. So it's always interesting to see what they borrow from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I think IFA in Berlin, IFA 2018, the technology conference there, I think we saw, if I'm right in saying, a Dell Chromebook, and that was the first one that came. I mean, Dell have had Chromebooks before, but this one had what I would say more premium features to it. So one of the challenges of Chromebook has been that they've kept the system very low priced. But by doing that, and that's because, I should say, because they've put in, let's just say, lesser processors, things you wouldn't really want on a PC. But it doesn't matter on a Chromebook because it's purely a browser. So as long as your internet connection's good, the system's nice and fast. However, with the advent of apps on these devices, so that does require some work of the processor, they're starting to take it a bit more seriously. So I think they're moving towards a place where we're going to start to see some more premium Chromebooks. I think they're going to try and get into the business world. Education was a big deal for Chromebook when it came out, and I think they have taken off. It was interesting, actually, though, from a screen reader point of view. I read an article last night on where I was setting up a WordPress website, and it said that when doing testing for websites, you know, to make sure that they're accessible, there are various combinations you should use. For example, NVDA along with Firefox on a PC, VoiceOver and Safari on the Mac kind of thing. If you're using JAWS, you need to use Internet Explorer. These are the combinations that the pros use. And I read at the bottom of the list that said Chromebooks are not suitable for web testing as they do not meet any standards. And I thought, wow.
That's weird.
That must be due to change, because my experience of Chromebooks, as you guys know, is generally a good experience. I think that the hardware does let it down, and I think that's where a more premium Chromebook would help, because if you had something that's just, I mean, I think the Google Pixel's too high up, Pixel Book, I should call it. I think the Pixelbook is just too much. I mean, we're talking £1,000 for that, essentially a web browser you can't do anything else on other than browse the web.
Yeah.
So if that's fine for you, that's great. But I think it needs something in the middle. You know, £150 to £200, even £300, that's fine. But you're not getting a huge amount of power for that. Something in the £600 mark might just be the sweet spot for that device, I think. But I'll be interested to see what happens. Chromebook, for one, would be nice to see. But for me, I think it'd be insane if we don't see some new Google Home kit. I don't know what it might look like. I hope there'll be some kind of new Google Home Mini, because they are now up against Amazon. They're raising their game with the new Echo Dot. So I'd be interested to see what that is like. And, you know, a new Google Home. How long has that Google Home been out? It's been out a while now.
Yeah, but
it's going on 2 years, isn't it, Sean?
Yeah, 3 years, I think. But where do you take it? That's the thing. I don't know, because they are good devices, you know, from the outset. The Echo Dot, for example, needed that audio quality. The speaker was pretty poor. Whereas I'm not entirely sure where else at this stage they could take the Google Assistants. I don't know.
And let's not forget, by the way, the Google Home Max, which is the larger speaker, which is apparently they're really powerful, and that's not long launched in the UK. Yeah. £400, so it's a considerable purchase. And it's got the Google Home built in. We're also seeing, a bit like with the Amazon Echo, we're seeing Google Home be built into other devices as well. In fact, Google Home and Lady A are actually becoming good friends. They seem to be turning up everywhere together. I'm actually thinking that because they're both female, we should actually be calling the Google Home Lady G. I think that seems appropriate, actually. Oh. So Lady A and Lady G are out on the town together in every device you can think of.
That may be an angle they take it. It may not be their own devices, but, you know, more integration into other devices, like Amazon did with the microwave and the wall clock. Maybe Google will unveil something like that. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be something that I wouldn't be surprised if they just happened to say, be like, by the way, we are integrating the Google Home Assistant into all these other products. We've partnered with all these other companies, and we are going to do this. So, yeah, like Amazon, Google needs to do that kind of thing. And they may come out, as far as the hardware is concerned. I think it's kind of a arrogant line to take. But if they wanted to, I guess they could say, well, we don't need to upgrade the hardware because our hardware is just that good. And so we're going to upgrade the software. We're going to make it smarter and better. But we believe in the hardware that we've had out for 2 or 3 years. We don't need to bring out something every other year. So buy what we've got. I can't believe they would really do that. I'm just saying that's something I guess they could say. But I really don't think so. I really think they're going to have to upgrade all the Home Assistants. And like you said, Sean, they should, if they want to catch up with Amazon, because Amazon's going to just, you know, rush right past them if they don't get on board now, you know, really quickly with getting Google Home Assistant into other white goods and other products. They need to do that now, or they're just going to be left behind.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Now, just a quick programming note before we go, because we are in the midst of and this is me putting my serious face on, right? Just so you know what I'm doing here, guys.
Okay. Just everyone's right? Serious now.
Yeah, everyone's serious. Come on. Straighten that tie.
No, I'm worried.
Yeah, it's been a great time in Tech Talk. That's it. Goodbye. No. I'm very pleased to say that RNIB has had 150 years of service to blind and partially sighted people in various guises. I have to say, I wasn't around for all of those years. It feels like more than it probably is. But we've seen a lot from the charity. And this year, we're celebrating that 150th anniversary with a series of specials. And over the next few weeks, in amongst our regular chat, we're going to be hearing from various people, including the head of BBC Accessibility, Gareth Ford-Williams. He's going to be joining us to talk about the improvements in technology and how that technology has allowed them to be more accessible to us as blind people. You know, going from the days when you had to plug a box into your television to get subtitles. I don't know if you ever remember that. You had to do that. There was a special box that I don't think anybody ever owned, but you could do that. Right up to the point now where you can get, you know, well, in some cases, audio description. But you can get audio description now from, say, the BBC iPlayer. and various devices, which is fantastic. So we're going to be talking to Gareth Ford-Williams about that. We're also going to be joined by Erica from Netflix. She's coming on to tell us all about the wonderful work they've been doing to not just make programs accessible through audio description, through subtitling, but also the apps themselves and making sure those work for us. We're also going to be hearing from Jenny LaFleur as well. She is from Microsoft, and she's going to be coming on to talk about their experience, past, present, and future, and the relationship they've had with RNIB over the years and how that feedback from all of us has helped in shaping their decisions. Will it help in getting Skype to be more accessible? That's a big question, but you never know. So that's going to be coming up over the next few weeks. So if you tune in and think, hang on, what's all this? Well, we're having a bit of a serious sit-down with those guys. And in between times, we will, of course, be reading your emails and checking out all the very latest news as it happens. I will also say we will get together and do something for Google's launch. I don't want it to become a thing where we only ever cover Apple launches in this show, because that's not what it's about. I am quite interested in Android here. I think just the final point to leave you with is on Google. I think that if you're going to buy a new phone this year and you've decided it's not going to be an Apple phone, then I would go for a Google Pixel. That would be my recommendation, because it's true Android. You know, it's like proper Android. And, you know that you're going to get the updates, you're going to get, you know, TalkBack is going to do what it's supposed to do. And you've got that accessibility help as well through Google, which is fantastic. Other providers will offer similar, but the problem is that they've kind of mucked around with the software so much that it might be difficult to unpick all that. So that's my recommendation. And to Karen as well for getting in touch for the first time this week. Thank you for doing that. Don't buy anything until, you know, a week.
Yes.
A week's time. That's my advice.
Yep.
So that is it for our show this week. Thank you so much. We will be back again next week. Remember, the podcast is always there. You can find that on our website, rnibconnectradio.org.uk. You can also find the podcasts on Audioboom. Search for this, RNIB Tech Talk. And I think it works on the smart speakers as well.
It does, most of the time.
Yeah, it's all about how you say it.
Slowly is the key.
I say it slowly, yeah. RNIB Tech Talk. And you can get the very latest episode. You will also get other stuff on there as well. Lots of great content. Check it out and keep in touch, more importantly. I know lots of you are, and please do keep getting in touch. And if you've never emailed us before, then make it now. Make it today.
Oh, that was so masterful. Yes, please do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like Barack Obama sitting here. And listen, actually, just before we go, quick message to Billy Burrell. No jokes. Billy, I even got you a jingle. Yeah. No jokes from Billy. I'm so sad. We'll catch you next time on Tech Talk. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.